This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle with Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger, and Jason LaConfora.
Guys, what is that plan in the draft in the first round? They picked 16th overall. We're working our way into the top 10. Where's Seattle, and what are they doing, in your opinion, Jason? What do you think they're going to attempt to do in this first round?
I talked to a GM last night who I don't want to give too much away. Let's say he's picking within 7 picks of the Seattle Seahawks. And we were kind of going through the teens comparing notes. And he thinks Seattle's one of the biggest wild cards in this draft. Like, they're taking the long view. You just talked about Geno, right? And Geno being tied to a 70-something-year-old head coach who had all the power in the organization. John Schneider was the GM in title. But in power, it was Pete Carroll. So then they bring in a very young head coach, and they do almost nothing in free agency, right? Like, Baldy, if you would have told me none of the Ravens' key free agents are ended up in Seattle defensively, right? All the guys that they could have lost, right? Van Noy, Clowney, Patrick Queen, Ronald Darby.
Geno Stone.
None of them, right? You're telling me none of them go there. I would have said, right. So it's a blank slate. Like, they could go, like, no one's talking about them with quarterbacks. They're doing work on quarterbacks. Like, if they grab Michael Penix, would I flinch? No. If they took the corner from Toledo, would I flinch? No. If they lean into a pass rusher, would it surprise me? No. If they took one of these 8 to 10 offensive linemen who are going to go in the first round, would that surprise me? No. If they traded back, that's what John Schneider liked. Like, to me, they are a true wild card.
So let's just pick it up from there, Jason. That's good. It's good groundwork here. So Mike McDonald hired Ryan Grubb as his offense coordinator. He was the offense coordinator in Washington with Kalen DeBoer. So he has coached Michael Penix from the day he got there. All right. So then you go, well, the agent for Michael Penix is also the same agent for their first round pick out of Illinois last year. So Devin Witherspoon. There is a familiarity. John Schneider dealt with this agent before. Like, it just seems to me, and if you said, okay, you watch University of Washington play football the last 2 years, nobody threw the ball down the field more frequently, deeper than Washington did. That's how they got to 14-0 this year in these shootout games. So I don't think you could plug J.J. McCarthy into that offense and they'd have been as successful. Not here to knock any of the other quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Michael Penix thrived in this particular offense. Also, Troy Fautano was a left tackle. I think Seattle needs a guard. They lost Damian Lewis. Like, to me, he's a Pro Bowl left guard. Like, they could go guard there, Jason. And Fautano would make a lot of sense. They've got two good young running backs there. Like, let's try to fix the offense line. They drafted those two tackles 2 years ago. They both are getting better. I mean, I think they could go quarterback for sure. And Penix makes a ton of sense because they know when if they're doing work on him, nobody knows Penix better than Ryan Grubb. And then if you wanted to fix the offense line, you could do that too. So I think they've got some real flexibility.
Well, and Baldy, let's take it a step further. I know they took a corner last year, and I know he's a stud, but Mike McDonald comes from Baltimore. I can remember people when Baltimore took Marlon Humphrey saying, you've got all these corners. You got four corners already. You need a tight end. Why are you taking Marlon Humphrey? I do a radio show for 4 hours in Baltimore. 2 years ago, I'm telling people, I think they're going to take Kyle Hamilton. And people were irate. What are you talking about? We got three safeties already. We got three corners. Like, we don't need another defensive back. What did they do? They took Kyle Hamilton. Like, if they traded back and took the DeJohn kid and they think he's a Swiss Army knife, like, would that shock me? No. Like, I know Mike McDonald has been brought up in a franchise that prizes corners and safeties above pass rushers even.
Yeah, and what's interesting, guys, is as we talk about Seattle and the potential of all the things you're laying out, the Indianapolis Colts pick 15th, and they need a corner, right? I mean, so you could have potentially two corners taken back-to-back there if that's what happens with Seattle. Let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts. We know Anthony Richardson is coming back, but who is he throwing the ball to, number one? Then number two, how are they defending the pass? Because last year, one of the things the Colts were terrible at was defending the pass. I think they were 22nd in yards per pass attempt allowed. So they need help in that secondary. Baldy, what do you think? Where do they go here? What are their needs?
Well, they've got Kenny Moore is back in the fold. They re-signed a bunch of their own guys. So Kenny Moore has been a Pro Bowl slot defender. That's what he thrives, and he's good in that role. They had drafted Juju Brents last year in the second round. He's a local Indianapolis kid, and he came, and he's their starting. They don't have a corner. The corner opposite Brents is basically a college free agent. Like, everybody has them taking a corner. And look, Gus Bradley, he plays zone coverage and all that. You've got to line up with these guys, especially if you're going up against Houston twice a year right now with what the firepower that they have and the quarterback that they have. I mean, you better be able to defend the perimeter. So I don't know if it's Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold or, you know, how they value these guys and how, you know, they're stacking these corners and when the run and corners begin to go. Because it looks like there's four for sure, maybe that looked like in their first round with Wiggins and DeJean. So I feel like that's the position of need. It's also probably the sweet spot to get one of the better corners in this draft right now.
By the way, real quick, DeJean, I know he's a white corner. Has to be obviously said, okay? We got to talk about this because we've been talking about it, and I am not caught up in that. My whole deal is, you guys know, can he play? Right? I don't give a damn what he looks like. But Baldy, the kid's pretty damn good, isn't he?
He's great. He's a great player. He's a great football player. He's a great tackler. People question, because probably his skin color, can he cover against the elite receivers down the field? Well, he ran an elite time. He has all the fast twitch that you're looking for. He just happens to be my color. Like, other than that, like, I don't know.
Well, I guess it's an anomaly, right, when we see guys at that position be as athletic and be able to cover and quick, twitchy stuff, as we talk about. So that I think people are caught up in that. And,
Carl, like, he's an elite punt returner. He's taking interceptions back for touchdowns. Like, he's a playmaker. You can put him in the slot. You can play him outside. You can match him up. You know, he's got size and he's physical. You know, that's the only knock right now. And, you know, people have to get over that. I think teams can get over that.
Oh, yeah. I only bring it up because we want to state the obvious, right? Let's be real. We're real on this podcast. We tell you what's what. We can't always tell you who told us what or where it came from. But at the end of the day.
No, but like, Carl, honestly, Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in football.
Correct.
Okay. Like, I don't think people look at Christian McCaffrey and go, wow, boy, what a, you know, they don't look at the color of skin. They're like, this is a hell of a football player. I think they're going to look at Cooper DeJean. I'm not saying he's going to be as good or, you know, change the game the way McCaffrey does every Sunday. But I feel like very quickly we're going to get over that whole thing.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, Jason, what do you want to add to the Colts situation, brother?
I'm playing with a personnel guy from a team that is more likely than not to take a wide receiver. And this guy's like, every time we talk to a kid and say, you know what I mean? Who have you just met with? Who have you just talked to? It's Indianapolis every time. Like, every time they talk to a receiver, it's like, oh, I just got the phone with Chris Ballard, or oh, I just got the phone. Like, so, like, they're doing a lot of work on receivers. And I know they kept Pittman, but like, they took a quarterback last year who was pretty electric when he played. He just didn't play much. They're on a fast turf, right? They're on a fast surface. And you're going to have to score points to keep, like, even if your defense is really good, Houston's going to score some points. So, like, the big three receivers will be gone. Bowers will be gone. I'm thoroughly convinced.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't shock me if there's someone in that next wave of receivers who they really think is best of breed remaining. Wouldn't shock me if they went that way.
Yeah. And real quick, back to DeGene. Our producer is saying Jason Sehorn comp. Is that fair? Baldy?
He's way more athletic than Jason Sehorn.
Well, he's a better player than Jason Sehorn. But I mean, Jason was the one, you know, he was the outlier back in that, you know, time frame with the Giants.
Yeah.
And so, but this guy, you know, this guy's running in the low 4.4s. And, you know, I mean, he's off the charts measurable wise. He's just off the charts. He just, you know, he had a little foot injury that is healed. He's all worked out. Like, I don't know. He's got so much good tape to look at there at Iowa.
So I'm not sure what to make of the New Orleans Saints. They picked 14. We've gone from Seattle at 16, Indy at 15. We could go back-to-back corners. You guys laid out receivers. And I'm looking at the New Orleans Saints, fellas, and I'm going, okay, offensive line. I mean, Jason, Baldy, how much time did we spend on Carr last season and that –
Well,
what we thought it was going to be and then what it was.
So Indianapolis is a classic case here where they missed on a player 2 years ago in Trevor Penning. They missed. All right. Like he has not stayed healthy and he has not been a good player. So when you miss on a player, and I'm not saying it's over for Trevor Penning, maybe Ryan Ramczyk is in bad shape physically. We don't know if he's going to be going to play. They need tackles. They just fired Doug Marrone. They replaced him with John Benton. Like, it looks to me like they got to get this thing fixed. Now, Derek Carr went through injuries last year. You can look at his final stats and say 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, not bad. But they weren't a good offense at all. And it started up front. Kamara didn't look like Kamara. Maybe.
Couldn't run the ball.
Couldn't run the ball, Jason. So, you know, Rashid Shaheed, you know, he was sort of like the big-time playmaker. They've got a couple weapons there. They've got to get this offense line fixed. And you know, this is a great draft to go get a guy, you know, at 14. Like, I don't think you have to move. I think you can wait for whoever falls to you. And I don't think you have to spend a whole lot of time. I mean, I think everybody feels like there's going to be 8 offensive tackles or 7 offensive tackles taken. There could be 10 offensive linemen taken. They're right there in the sweet spot. The elite guys, probably Alt, Fashano, probably gone. But they're going to get their pick there. And they whether they go left tackle, right tackle, they need a tackle right now in the worst way.
Jason, I also think they're getting long in the tooth on defense, right? I mean, Cam Jordan, these guys that have done it for a long time, I think they need some D-line help, don't they?
I mean, unless you're in love with Bryant, you know what I mean? And I could, like, I would get that on a lot of levels, but I don't think if I don't know, man, with like, I'm with Baldy on this one. Like, I know some people who are pretty close to Mickey Loomis and like they're all in on right now. Like we got things that we know are that have to be plug and play to fill holes right now. Because like if this Carr thing doesn't work out, like they've got an owner who like, I don't want to say she's checked out, but she is anything but micromanaging. But like there reaches a point where it's like, well, wait a minute, how much money have we paid this quarterback and how many playoff wins do we have to show for it? So you look, go look at their depth chart in the left side of their offensive line right now. I'd be scared to death to run that group out there right now. Mm-hmm. And more to the point, I think Derek Carr would be scared to death. And actually, at times, Derek Carr almost looks like he's a little bit flinchy to me. So it's a great draft for offensive line. I don't think they overthink this. I hear they love the kid from Penn State. If he's there, I think they call that a win. I just know that they're all about the here and now. And this is a this is not the draft you want to force defense. Like, I think Atlanta might end up doing that in the first round, and they might regret it. But, like, I don't think that's what the Saints are going to do here. Sorry, Carl.